Well, good morning again. Thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship, which we do appreciate that. I trust that we are well, church. Even though we may have our struggles, God is in control. Amen. Amen. He is. Just to let you know that on Thursday, I had the privilege of taking a funeral. It was somebody who I didn't know, but I did know the family. So it was an opportunity to share the grace of God with a wider audience. It's sad, isn't it, when we lose loved ones and we can't fully engage one with another. And it was tragic. However, opportunities are not missed. So continue to pray as God moves in and through us as a church. And we look forward to that time where we can congregate together and fellowship together and encourage in person one another. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in the series of spiritual battles or spiritual armor, the provision of the Lord. And we're going to go from Ephesians 6 down to verse 10 again. I just want to read it just to make us more familiar with this passage. And finally, be strong in the Lord. And we need to look at the finally that Paul is talking about. Go do Ephesians 1 and start to read right the way through. See what Paul says that we are, who we are in Christ Jesus, what God has done through his Son for me and you. And then he says, and finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. God is powerful, not weak. Amen. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Paul is encouraging us to stand, not to go and fight, but to stand against the devil's schemes. He goes on to explain, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, he says in 13, put on the full armor of God. Not some of it, not part of it, but all of it. Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And then we come to our portion of scripture for today in verse 16, where it says, in addition to all this, you have these things. Now, in addition to those things, this is what I want you to do. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take it up. And when we look at this word shield of faith, the shield that we're talking about is not a shield of combat in the sense that you can have a small shield which you will be able to have your weapon in one hand and your shield in the other hand, and it will be lightweight but strong so that you can block the opposing enemy's blows. That's not the kind of shield that this word talks about. It talks about a, put it more like it's a door. It's like 4 foot high and 2 foot six wide. It's the size of a small door. It's heavy, but it works, and it works well. This is what Paul is talking about. Take up your shield. Not have your shield in the background. Not have your shield somewhere else so that if it's needed, you can go and fetch it. But have it ready. Take it up. The shield of faith. And we all know about faith. I'm talking to Christians here. So we're not going to do a message on just on faith. We're going to concentrate on what God has given us as a protection against the devil's schemes, against the spiritual forces of this dark world. I like to, at time to time, just bring in some of my life experiences to illustrate, just as Paul did when he was illustrating this particular portion of scripture, using the armor of the Roman soldier and using the imagery that comes through the Old Testament Torah, where it talks about the army of the Lord. And when I was 16, I entered my first full-time position at work. And the person I worked for We had an interesting relationship. It was a love-hate relationship. I was evenly balanced when I first started work. I had a chip on both shoulders, but this man I worked for, he equally was equally balanced. He too had a chip on each shoulder, and we used to clash at times, but it developed into a good relationship because I would speak the truth to him and he would speak the truth to me, and sometimes we would agree and sometimes we would clash. However, he was a wealthy man and he didn't become wealthy by being generous. He was quite tight with his finances. And even though in the industry I worked, we had three workshops. One was glass, one was body repairs for cars, and one was material work for cars with upholstery and such alike. And all the health and safety equipment that we needed was provided, but it was put into a cage which was locked. And we had to go to the office, get the key, unlock the cage, and get the appropriate safety wear we needed for that day. Now, the reason he did that was because he was shrewd. And he would work on the basis that if we went to the office to get the key, he would know that we knew that he knew that we was getting safety equipment out. And so with that in mind, most of us just didn't bother. It was just too much hassle. We didn't want him looking at us. And if something went wrong, if something got broken, then he would blame the person who took it out last for that disrepair. So that meant it saved him money. The point is this: God hasn't locked away all our safety equipment. In that cage was enough equipment for those that worked in 50% of his workplaces. There wasn't enough for everybody. He assumed that not everybody would want everything at the same time. God's not like that. God doesn't say, we have one shield and you can share it between one household. We have one shield and you can share it between one church. I'll give it to the senior pastor or I'll give it to the worship leader next week. No, God has provided everything for everyone. Do you get that? God has provided everything for everyone. One of the things that used to excite me as a child, I'm easily pleased, was the beginning of a new term at school when we would all in our household receive a new set of clothes for school. And I can still smell the newness of the clothes, if that's the right term. It was quite exciting for us because we never had much growing up, but my mother did provide us with a new set of clothes at the beginning of each new term. We had new everything. We had new vests, new underwear, new trousers, shirts and shoes. And you could smell that. And they were folded up on the end of my bed. Just the same with God. He gives us everything we need when we need it. So when we're talking about in addition to all this, these are things that God's provided, not just for me, not just for one or two few privileged people, not just for the clever Christians, not just for the tall Christians, not just for the Christians that have been to college, but for every single professing Christian in this world of ours. He's given us all clothes to wear. He's given us all the armor to be able to stand against the devil's scheme. So this is something God has given us, but we need to take it up. You see, what Paul says is here, put on the belt of truth. It's a thing that we have to do. Wear the breastplate, put it on. Put the shoes on and do them up tight. God has given them to us. Now he's saying, in addition to all of that, put on, take up the shield of faith. Remember what I'm saying is, this is the picture here of a door. Some of the wives and the mothers of soldiers would say to their children, come home with your shield, not on your shield, because their shields were so big that they could be used as a coffin to carry them home on. And if you get the picture, you may have seen it on some films where the Roman soldiers would go out to battle and there'd be a long line, a formation. They would be the front infantry, if you like. Those that went before, they would have these shields. And as the enemy would fire their darts or their rocks or whatever the missiles were at the time, they would be able to put these shields shoulder to shoulder and there'd be a small wall that was created so that nothing could penetrate. And if you look at some of the other films, I'm sure they did this. Some of the soldiers would lift up their shields. So when the bowmen would fire their arrows overhead, there would be a canopy that would protect the people underneath. This is the picture that Paul has given us here. It's the shield of faith that covers all the body. So it says this, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows or missiles of the evil one. And the picture here is this. It could be one of two things or both of these things. There were arrows which were dipped in poison. And when they would hit the flesh, there would be a burning sensation. It would be like your body is on fire. That's one thing that Paul could be talking about. Another thing they would do is dip the tips of their arrows into pitch, set them alight, and then fire them at the enemy. Now, the Roman centurions and the Roman soldiers, they did a clever thing. They would take their wooden shield, they would cover that shield within with leather and skins, and dip those shields in water so that when the fire came across, the fire would be extinguished because it would hit the shield and not the man. This is the picture Paul has given us. If you imagine that the devil, our enemy and his hordes, his demonic hordes, are firing accusations at us all the time. They're firing at us as Christians, but God has given us the weapons of warfare so that we can stand. We don't need to run towards our enemy, but when the enemy comes to attack us, we stand and we stand firm. And we have these items that Paul is talking about, that the spiritual sense of the breastplate of righteousness, being right with God and living a holy life, putting on that belt of truth. And remember what Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. It's all connected to Jesus Christ. The shoes of the readiness of the gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. This shield of faith there again represents Christ being hidden with him, being wrapped around, given everything that we need to protect us as Christians. Amen. This is good news. This is good news. Let's continue with one or two scriptures and see if we can illuminate this a bit more to us. As I've been reading and studying this whole thing, I've seen so many different things and there's so much I want to share, but time does not allow. Would you believe we've been speaking for over 12 minutes already? When I say we, I mean I. In Genesis 15, in verse 1, it says this. Well, let's read from verse 1 at the beginning. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. And whenever we see this word shield in scripture, it talks about protection. I am your protection. Do not be afraid. It's the same as what God says to me and you. Jesus says, I am your protection. I am your shield. In 2 Samuel 22, starting at verse 3, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield, my horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my saviour. It expands what God is to us as a believer. He's my saviour. He saves us from the violent people. From violent people, you save me. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirl around me, about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice, the cry that came to his ears. God is your shield. He's your protection. He's your salvation. The psalmist in Psalm 3 verse 1 says this, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are my shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lay down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. I like this. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. My blessing be on your, may your blessing be on your people. God is your shield. That shield of faith is what we're talking about. What it represents when the enemy fires the missile at you. When he fires whatever way you want to depict that missile. May it be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, financial. When he fires at you, God's given you a shield. And that shield is Christ Jesus. That shield is the shield of faith. What are we putting our faith in? Who do we put our trust in? Exactly, God. That's why that shield represents everything that God is and who we are. And we're covered, we're protected, as long as we stand behind that shield of faith. We put our trust in Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 2 verse 7 says this. He holds success in store for the upright. Who are the upright? Those that belong to him. Those that have got that breastplate of righteousness on. Have a right standing with God because of confessing their sins and accepting the Saviour. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Does that mean we don't do anything wrong? Of course it doesn't. But when God looks at us, he sees his son, Jesus Christ, and sees us, Jesus says, forgiven. We have the opportunity to get right with God on a regular basis. Yes, our sins separate, but God's grace brings us close to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Jesus becomes our shield, and we're on that journey, aren't we? We're not perfect, but he is. And that's why we put our trust in him. That's why that shield of faith is important. Because it's not about what we do. It's about what he has done. And we recognize that by faith. Amen? Amen. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just. And who are we? We are the just. We're justified. He protects the way of his faithful ones. That's us. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair and every good path. For wisdom will enter your hearts and knowledge will be present and pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked man, from the man whose words are perverse. Wisdom, discernment and understanding. God has given us everything we need. Everything we need. We need to lay hold of it. We need to put it on. And we need to put up that shield of faith. So that when the enemy fires, not if, but when he fires, we can stand and stand firm knowing that we're wrapped around. We're hedged, as it says in Job. We've been hedged by the Lord. He protects us on all sides. He is our rear guard. But we are the ones that need to lay hold of it. We are the ones that need to confess it. We are the ones that need to believe it. Have faith and faith in what God has already done for us through the work of Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. It's our privilege to take refuge in him. We take refuge in him. He protects us because he is our shield. Amen. Amen. Nehemiah 4:22. I just want to bring this portion of scripture as imagery, if you like. It's a truth that is true for you and I today. But use this portion of scripture as that backdrop just to bring out these words here in Nehemiah 4 verse 22. At that time, I also said to the people, they're rebuilding the walls, if you read the story. Every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve us as guards by night and workers by day. In verse 23, neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off their clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. Now, what Nehemiah is saying here is, we were ready. We were ready for the battle. We were ready for the work. And if you take this portion of scripture and you immerse it in the New Testament, you immerse it in what this portion of scripture we're talking about in Ephesians tells us, to put on the full armor of God, that we will be ready. We will have the shoes fitted with the readiness. What Nehemiah is saying about his men is, I acknowledge that we're in a battle and I acknowledge that we have work to do. So we are going to be fully clothed at all times, even when we go for water, even when we do the mundane things of life. So taking this portion of scripture and bringing it to you, what I'm saying to you is this: God has given you the clothes and the weaponry to wear. He's given you the shield of faith. We have that opportunity to have those items with us at all times, not to take them off, not to say that we don't need God to protect us. We don't need the shoes of the readiness of the gospel because we have a sure footing. But when the enemy pushes you, you will fall because you're not fitted with the shoes of the readiness of the gospel. When it comes to the belt of truth, if you don't have that on at all times, someone may say something that sounds true, but it's a lie. And if they say it long enough, you'll believe it. So the lie becomes the truth and the truth becomes a lie. The Bible talks about it. That's why don't take the belt of truth off. The breastplate of righteousness. The enemy will fire a dart at you. And if you haven't got that breastplate on, if that missile comes through or over because you haven't got your shield of faith in front of you and it hits you, you will be accused. You will be reminded of how sinful you were or how sinful you are. And you will start to agree. Why? Because you've listened to the lie of the enemy instead of the truth of the Lord. So it's important not to take our clothes off. So if you haven't got them on today, put them on. Then come back and let's listen to the rest of what God is saying here. In Mark 11, 22, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Faith in God. Jesus says this, doesn't he? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and me are one. I am in him, he is in me, you are in me, and we are in him. That when we acknowledge that we're in need of a Saviour, the Spirit of God enters us, doesn't it? We're born again. We're born afresh. He comes and dwells in us. We're connected. We're not to have faith in ourselves. Or we're not even to have faith in faith. We're to put our trust in what God says about his son Jesus Christ and put our faith in what he has already accomplished. Remember, we are overcomers because he's an overcomer. We will rise on the day that God calls us. Why? Because he rose. We've been delivered. We've been set free. God's given us a gift of grace. Amen. Have faith in God. Don't put your faith in faith. Don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in those around you without first putting your faith in God. And when you put your faith in God, you will be girded and you will be enveloped by all that Jesus has given you. Put up that shield of faith so that when the enemy comes and fires at you, you'll be able to extinguish those fiery darts. Looking at Proverbs 2 verse 7. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. God is a good God, isn't he? In 2 Thessalonians 1 3 says this: we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters. And rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. Paul is saying, I like what I see. When I come to visit, your faith is growing. It's going from strength to strength. The Bible says that we are going from glory to glory. So this indicates that our faith can grow. Many people say it this way. They say faith is like a muscle. As you exercise it, it gets stronger and it gets stronger. So the faith that we are to put up can be as small as a mustard seed. And it will still work. Why? Because our faith, our trust, our hope is in Christ and not in our ability. He's not given you a substandard shield. The shield that you have is the same shield that I have. But the faith that Paul is talking about here that is growing more and more is that faith that Jesus, with Jesus, nothing is impossible. That we can have faith as small as a mustard seed. We can say to that mountain, be moved. That doesn't mean that the mountain will physically move. What it means is that nothing is impossible for God. Only believe. But what are we going to put our belief in? What are we going to put our trust in? Who is our faith in? It's in God. It's in Christ, isn't it? It's in the gospel of peace. That's why it's important to not take these clothes off. To be mindful of what God says to us. And be mindful that we do have an enemy that prowls around looking to destroy. But he won't be able to destroy you. Because he won't be able to even see you, because you're hidden in Christ. You're protected by a shield. God is your all and all. In John 10, verse 9, it says this. Jesus says this. I am the gate. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that they, meaning you and me, may have life and have life in all its full. God has given us the provisions to stand, but we also have the freedom to move. God is the gate. God is the door. When we enter in, he protects us. And he protects us through his word, and he protects us by his spirit, and he protects us by giving us the weapons of warfare. And that's what we've been talking about today. That's what we've been talking about for these last few weeks. So let's continue in one or two scriptures. I have time just to read these, just to encourage us that we are who God says we are. Just to say, let's not lay that foundation of repentance again, because we've been saved through the blood of Christ, but to lay hold of everything he's already given us. Remember my boss, he put everything I needed in a cage and locked it up, and I had to go and unlock it. You don't have to go and unlock it. You just have to put it on. Amen. In Colossians 3 verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Christians, we come in all shapes and sizes, don't we? Some have little faith, some have great faith, but God loves us all, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Some people, they have the faith to believe for the mountain to be moved, and others have the faith of the mustard seed just to believe for today. Well, God says, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worry of its own. When it comes to provision, God provided for his people, and they were to take what they needed on a daily basis. That's what God is asking you and I. Just take what you need on a daily basis. But as you go through this life, I want you to know that you are my chosen people. You are dearly loved. And that I have given you all that you need. So let's read what it says here in Colossians 3, 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. This scripture talks about a different type of clothing to put on, but it's the same principle. We need to put on the full armor of God, but we also need to be reminded that it's our responsibility to put them on. Just as it says here in Colossians. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against anyone, forgive them. As the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs and spiritual singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. we can be thankful for what God has given us. As he protects us, he gives us the wisdom that we need to work in his vineyard. He gives us the wisdom to stand and the wisdom to go. He gives us the wisdom to be silent and the wisdom to speak. Everything that God has given us is there, but we have the responsibility to clothe ourselves. Amen? Amen. My final scripture, because of time, we go back to Ephesians 6, verse 16. And in addition to all these, God has already given us much blessing. But in addition to all that, take up the shield of faith, the trust that we have in Christ Jesus, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Doesn't matter what the devil accuses you of, put up that shield of faith, that you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be blessed. Let's finish with prayer. Father, we thank you that we are covered, we are hidden with you. Lord, we thank you that you are our shield, you are our rear guard. You cover us on the right, the left, above and beneath. We thank you, Lord, that you died for us, that you rose again for us, that we may be those that will live with you. Father, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Father, I want to put on my clothes today and not take them off. That, Father God, I acknowledge your provision for me. Father, help me to stand and stand firm. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.